And welcome to Rick's Martini Bar. I'm Jerry McCarty, here with Rick Farmelo, and guess who's back? Amanda Raven is back! We missed you so much. We were dying. Rick was playing romantic music. He was getting so lonely.
Yeah, that's it.
So how was New York? Did you get some of that snow?
No, actually, we were okay. I was up in Syracuse, New York, and the snow was down in the city, and they just got hammered. I mean, the whole city was incapacitated for days.
See, probably the first time in the history that Syracuse was not hammered, and New York City was.
Yeah, so you got that lake effect snow.
Cheers. Well, welcome back.
Thank you.
Cheers. And today's topic is Oscar mistakes. And we were talking, and Rick's a voting member of the Academy. Amanda's a voting member of SAG, and I'm a couch-laying person that just kind of watches.
An egg-laying.
So I get to be critical. So we're going to talk about Oscar mistakes, stuff that should have been nominated, or stuff that should have won that didn't, and stuff that did win that shouldn't have. And So anyway, we will talk about that, and let's talk about our we got a couple Twitters here first. The people that came in, or tweets, I'm sorry, that our buddy Grant Anderson, who did our Three Stooges podcast. By the way, if you want to look at the old podcasts, they're all out there, all 28 of them now, I think, are out there. Just go to www.mccartymetro.com. They're free, and you can download and check out the Three Stooges podcast, one of our most listened to podcasts ever. But Grant said that he thinks that the fact that Cuba Gooding Jr. beat out William H. Macy for supporting actor was a travesty.
Well,
and it was. It was for Jerry Maguire.
I don't disagree with that.
William H. Macy did Fargo, which he did a great job.
Well, you know, here's what happens. People nominate the character in the movie. They like the character in the movie, and that's why some of these guys win for best actor, even though it's
right.
Not the acting, it's the character. And so, I understand that, because if it's a character you really, really like,
right.
Oh, that's a great character.
Right.
You tend to give the actor who did it an Oscar, but a lot of times
and
it's
he
not
got,
really a particularly great performance.
And Cuba Gooding got helped by the fact that his line, "Show me the money," became like the catchphrase, like dynamite or whatever else, other catchphrases.
We're listening to in the background. I think Midnight Cowboy, we're listening to Midnight Cowboy, which I think is a great movie, but it was one of the biggest disappointments of my young life that it won best picture in 1969 over Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. I'm not saying it shouldn't have won necessarily, but I would just say it's a huge disappointment to me.
Perhaps the subject matter of the film that was the reason.
I think I
was totally surprised at that one though.
It was X-rated too.
X-rated. It had X rating.
It's R now, but I mean at the time I used to have the movie poster and it had an X. Like it was actually R first. And then it was like a stick-on X over the R. So it was actually, it got an X rating, and you had to be over 18 to even see it.
And it's
I thought we'll never.
But there's male prostitution in there.
Yeah.
I mean, it's.
There's not a lot of like.
No, but I mean, just
for the time.
Yeah.
But I think Butch Cassidy was just, I said this earlier, just way too popular.
The real cowboy won best actor that year.
Yeah, the real cowboy.
John Wayne won.
The cowboy of all cowboys, yeah.
And which leads us to our next Twitter or tweet, which was, why did it take so long for Jeff Bridges to win an award? Jeff Bridges is going to do the remake of True Grit.
Well, I think a lot of just happens. I mean, he went up against good actor. I think eventually he was going to get it because he's such a good actor. And I think finally, I think the Academy felt bad. And I think that's another subject I'm going to bring up real quick, but sometimes they'll do like a consolation prize.
Right.
Somebody should have won it, they didn't, and the next time they get even close to being good, or their director gets close to making a really good movie, they give them the Oscar as like a makeup. It's like a makeup award.
Sorry, messed up, dude.
Jeff Bridges lost for Last Picture Show.
He
He lost it to his castmate, Ben Johnson, for that.
Yeah, well, Ben Johnson was great.
He was great in it. But he lost to Thunderbolt Lightfoot, which he was awesome
in.
Starman, he was awesome, and he lost to that. He lost to, in the Contender, he lost to that.
Yeah.
And was he nominated for, what was the car one?
The car one?
Yeah.
Oh, Tucker.
Tucker.
Probably was.
Yeah.
He's
so
great.
He probably lost that too.
Probably was great.
So he was due, and they gave him for playing a drunk country singer.
I think the
good luck, Gwyneth.
Yeah.
Oh, she already. Unfortunately, she already has one.
Yeah.
She's already won a Best Actress Oscar.
The classic case to me of, well, there's two of them, of giving somebody an Oscar when they should have done it before was Martin Scorsese recently for The Departed, which is a really, really good movie. But he should have won it for Raging Bull and Goodfellas, definitely, and he didn't. And it's like, you know, and I think they kind of wanted to give it to him for
Not the Aviator,
the one before.
Gangs of New York.
Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's like, just wasn't quite good enough of a movie. It had the look of a great movie, but it kind of wasn't. So they couldn't quite give it to him.
They could give it to him, so they gave it to Rob Morrow for Chicago. I always say Rob Morrow, but it's whatever his name is. Now I'm going to have to look it up.
Actor-wise...
Rob Marshall. They gave it to Rob Marshall for Chicago over Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
So,
Actor-wise, I think another real classic case was Paul Newman, who should have gotten it 15 times.
Right.
But he really should have gotten it, you know, in his later life for The Verdict.
Right.
In 1982,
one of my favorite
he did
movies.
Get it, and it was like, how could you? I mean, he's absolutely amazing in it.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever been better. Okay. Didn't get it. So they give it to him the next year for Color of Money.
Right.
Basically because he should have won it for The Hustler, which is the original Eddie Felsen character.
Right.
Fast Eddie that he played in 1961, and they gave it to him in 1983. And, I mean, and the movie's not very good. I'm sorry. It's not a very good movie. And he's not really that good in it. But I think they probably figured, we should have given it to him last year. We should have given it to him for... You know, The Hustler, original Hustler.
Right.
So they gave it to... it's weird. They gave it to that character.
Right.
Because he did it. He played the character as an older guy. That's a weird one. And I mean, I'm glad Paul Newman got it, because he's one of the best actors.
Oh, he's great.
Ever.
Lord of the Rings. There were, you know, the three versions, and then Return of the King is the one that won all the awards, because it's the last
one. Third one.
Okay, well, Peter Jackson's due, and...
I think that was the best of the three.
So why do you think, and just something that has never been nominated for anything, and I know you're going to hate it, Rick, but I'm going to ask Amanda because she may appreciate it a little more, Harry Potter. Not one nomination for anything. And I know the kids are the kids, but there's some good actors in supporting roles. You think that...
There really are. I mean, I don't have to say Alan Rickman is really fantastic. I mean, especially the first few, he does a phenomenal job with that character.
Yeah, Alan Rickman is like certain people that, like, you will... Like, Alan Rickman should get one. Gary Oldman, they're probably in that list where you're going to say, when they do something good, they're going to...
just be kind of good, because, you know, we're going to give it to you.
Alan Rickman is great in that series.
You're talking about... things that shouldn't have gotten if it did. To me, for some reason, this movie jumps out. We talked about this off the air, but the English Patient.
Oh.
I just think it's like just such an average movie, and the fact that it won Best Picture over Fargo. I mean, come on, man.
Now, you're an Academy member, so I'm going to ask you, what the heck? They like go through these phases. It was like the English Patient, Out of Africa. They get enamored by these.
They tend to like...
Three-hour movies.
Yeah, they tend to like... the Academy tends to like well-mounted epics, which is why like Gandhi... The last
Gandhi
Emperor.
Who beat up Ben Kingsley beat out Paul Newman for the verdict that year.
Is that what happened?
Yeah.
Okay, that's who won. I mean, Kingsley's you can't take away from Ben Kingsley. He's great in that movie. But it's like those, you know, the last Emperor, these big epic. You know, the Academy loves those types of movies.
Yeah.
Even though when you look back on them, some of them don't even hold up.
Right.
I think English Patient,
not Africa. You can't stand to watch it.
A lot of people don't.
Magnolia is good, and Tom Cruise was nominated and didn't win that year for Magnolia.
That's
like the one time he should have won that song.
He's never been better.
Yeah.
I don't think.
Yeah.
I think he was just so amazing in that, and I don't think he'll ever be that good again.
I don't think so either.
I think he's kind
of. But another one of your examples is And we and this goes all the way back, and it's exactly what Rick says, and it goes all the way back, and we kind of talked about this off the air, too, is Art Carney in 1972 beat out Jack Nicholson, Al Pacino, and Dustin Hoffman for the Academy Award that he got for Harry and Dog.
For having a pet cat.
For having a pet cat.
And he's good in it. Don't get me wrong. I think he's really good, and I think... But I think, again, with Art Carney, he's a very, very well-respected performer. You know, right. He was on The Honeymooners, of course. And that's another thing the Academy does. Somebody who's had a really good body of work, they finally get nominated for something. It's like, you know what? This guy's been so great for so long, and they give it to him for that. There's so many reasons why certain people win.
So this is exactly what I think happened is then when – so they owe Pacino one, they owe – you know, and he's gotten a couple, but they gave him one for Scent of the Woman, which he was really good at. But he beat out Denzel Washington in Malcolm X, and so then they owed Denzel one, and so they gave him one for Training Day, which he totally didn't deserve for.
I was surprised he even got nominated.
Yeah,
I know.
I'm like, well, you know, he's good, but. And then for him to actually win, I'm like, that's something.
And he beat out Russell Crowe for A Beautiful Mind.
The reason he beat out Russell Crowe.
So then they had to give Russell Crowe.
Russell Crowe was a real bad guy that year. That's when he punched out the producer backstage. I mean, he was like a really bad guy that year. I think they punished him. And so when he didn't win, I saw him that night. He just blew past everybody.
Really?
People are trying to say, hey, and he just like. Leave me alone. Don't even freaking talk to me. And then he just, like, bolted out of the building.
Wow.
Yeah, he was, like, pissed. Well, you know what? Hey, like I said, the Academy does things for different reasons, yeah.
And one that we've talked about, a Best Picture, that I think is one of the, won both Best Actor and Best Picture that year was Forrest Gump.
This is Adam's.
So Forrest Gump.
Well, you play a handicapped guy. I guess he was handicapped, retarded. What was he? What was Forrest Gump?
Well, here's my problem with Forrest Gump. It's like the whatever that Lee Strasberg thing is, where he says acting is reacting.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't react to anything in that movie.
It's just one note.
It's like Benjamin Button.
Yes. He doesn't react to anything.
He's just like on this. Mm-hmm. Some stuff is going on all around him, and he does absolutely nothing about it.
Yeah, that's how Benjamin Button was too.
So I'm like, oh, you're going to do this now, and then this happens. It's like, okay.
It's weird. You know, and I think. That movie in particular seems to have not aged well.
No.
And Zemeckis can't even forget.
And we were talking before that the movies that it beat for Best Picture that year were Pulp Fiction, which is
awesome.
Much better.
Yeah.
Quiz Show, but directed by Robert Redford, which is a great, funny movie.
It is great.
Good movie.
Yeah.
And Shawshank Redemption, which is one of my favorite movies ever.
Yeah.
Best prison movie ever.
It is.
So the Forrest Gump wins. And then Tom Hanks beat out John Travolta and Paul Newman for that. And Tom Hanks.
Oh, Paul Newman was up for
Nobody's Fool.
Also great in that. He's also so great in that movie.
And he, but Tom Hanks. And I don't want to take anything away from him because the year before he did Philadelphia and he was awesome.
Yeah, he's a great actor.
He was great in that.
Great actor, yeah.
And he deserved that.
Uh-huh.
But Forrest Gump and then.
I would nominate him for Big before that.
And then the biggie is Robert Zemeckis, the director of that, beating out Woody Allen, Robert Redford, and Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. As much as I love Pulp Fiction, I knew it wouldn't win. It's almost like an underground movie. But that was one of the very first of the really independent films to be recognized. So that's cool, man. I mean, that's pretty groundbreaking.
Yeah.
I thought, even though it didn't win.
So
we even got to best songs yet. we'll just skip right over that, right? We'll just skip.
So anybody else you think that should have gotten one that hasn't gotten one?
Yeah. That's a really good question. I'm trying to think.
I think Gary Oldman's high on my list for somebody that is a really good actor.
There's a lot of great actors that just, for you know, maybe the roles just weren't, you know. I mean, Jeff Bridges would have been on top of the list.
Yeah. Well, who's that?
Yeah.
Robert Duvall, yeah. He's one, but he does such great stuff. In fact,
he should have won it for The Apostle. Did you see that?
Yeah, The Apostle. He's great in that.
He's awesome in that. He did win it for a film called Tender Mercies. It wasn't much of a movie, but he's great in it. And when he won, this is about a year later, they talked to him a couple years later. They said, and he finally won the Oscar and whatever. He says, did it help change your career, winning the Oscar finally? He goes, no, not really. He said, he goes, absolutely not. He says, it was a great honor to win. I was happy to win. He said, it did nothing for my career. Absolutely nothing. It doesn't really mean anything for, you don't get hired more or anything like that. It's just, it was an honor, but it didn't really change anything.
Well, that's what they get. But I am low this year. Robert Duvall may have a shot. I'm sure
he'll be.
I don't even know if he got the Golden Globe nomination, but he was great in that role. So we'll see what happens there.
There'll be a lot of surprises. I'm sure.
I think the favorite. Who do you think's the favorite this year? Well, I can't do this because Rick's a voting member. When is your ballot due?
Influence me.
I don't even know
when it's due.
But so I told him that we wouldn't press him for an Oscar answer, but I will tell you that
I haven't seen enough stuff.
My Clive Owen's going to be the favorite, I think, for the King's Speech.
Oh, very possible. I think he'll be nominated for sure. I haven't seen the movie, but
which will be the payback for last year when he didn't.
There's this big long scorecard everybody keeps, and they go, "Oh no, we still owe him one, and we still owe him." I mean, I don't. Now I'm just saying. Now I don't really think any Academy member actually says all this stuff. Actually thinks about, like, okay, we didn't give it to him, so now we gotta.
No.
They don't. Nobody works like that. But I think subconsciously. It's a subconscious thing and you know what? The Academy's is fairly old.
Yeah.
It's an older membership, and that weighs into it also. Yeah. The more traditional, like love stories and things, they're very pretty conservative. So those types of things tend to get recognized.
I think that definitely shows up in, like, the Martin Landau and when those guys get their Oscar. Jack Palance.
Yeah, older guys who have done it for a long time. I think Jack Palance is a really good example.
He's been
doing it a long time. And not that he didn't deserve it for, but it's a comedy. It's kind of weird that comedies don't usually ever win for anything. So, there is a body of work thing that figures into it, too.
Wow.
And I'm just as guilty as, I'll nominate. I'd vote for somebody like this guy has been so good in so many things. I'm gonna vote for him.
Yeah. You know? You talked about Scorsese. You thought he should have won for for Raging Bull, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And so Nicholson.
Uh-huh.
Let's just talk about. What do you think his best role?
Honestly, I think Chinatown's his best role. If you look at how he is in that movie, and then how he kind of became where he's a little more, and I wouldn't say over the top, but he started becoming a little bit more of a character.
Yeah.
You know, the Joker and Batman. Like, a lot of his older things.
Yeah. Like, and even, I think it started with Cuckoo's Nest. I mean, he's absolutely amazing and deserves the Oscar for that. But if you look at how subtle he used to be, like in Five Easy Pieces.
Yeah.
In this movie called Kingdom Marvin Gardens, he's just different. In Chinatown, I think, was the peak of him being very subtle and underplayed his part. And the first time I saw that, I was like, this guy. I mean, I'd seen John Nicholson all kinds of, but I saw that movie years later. You know, years after it came out, I go, man, this guy is amazing in this movie. He's so subtle and so great. It's like, how could he not get the Oscar? You know what I mean? So,
I thought he should have won it for A Few Good Men, which he was over the top, obviously.
But that was the character. That's okay. The character.
He lost it to Gene Hackman that year, I think, for Unforgiven.
Oh, right. Yeah. But Nicholson's just.
Well, we got to close the podcast. But let's end it with the Nicholson Evans story. It's my favorite Hollywood story. But the House.
Oh, okay.
My favorite
Robert
Hollywood
Evans,
story.
Robert
Everybody
Evans.
In Hollywood is not an idiot.
No. Robert Evans had lost his Woodland house because he That's a whole other podcast.
Yeah.
Podcast. But anyway, he was kind of down on his luck. He was not doing well. Nobody would work with him in town anymore. He lost his office at Paramount, and he was losing his house. And this French guy bought it. And he's going to have to move. And Jack Nicholson, unbeknownst to Robert Evans, flew to France to meet this guy, meet up with this guy, and said, "Look, I don't buy his house. You know, the guy said, "No, I want it. I'm going to buy it." And he just kept begging him and begging him and begging him. And I think he even may have bought it from him. I can't remember exactly how he got it back, but he got the house back for Evans. And he did a drawing, which like you saw it in Evans' bedroom, the drawing that Jack Nicholson did. It said, "Welcome home," and had like a picture of, like a caricature of him. "Welcome home. Welcome home, Bob," or something.
Irish.
Like that. Welcome, yeah.
Yeah, welcome home, Bob.
His nickname was Irish. wasn't that awesome? He got his house back for
him. His house back. I mean, and Nicholson, or Robert Evans, did Chinatown,
He said Nicholson is like one of the most loyal friends you could ever have. He said, you know, people don't kind of know that about him, but he's one of the most loyal guys he has ever, which is why they're still friends. Yeah. One of the most loyal guys he's ever known, because you wouldn't believe how. What a great
podcast. I like to end the podcast on good people.
Yeah, that's a nice thing.
That's a good thing to do. So, anyway, well, thank you for the podcast. Wonderful job. So good to have you back.
It's all normal now. It feels like normal now. We always have to have a girl at the bar. And
we just
stared
at the open chair. It was like one of those sad bar things.
Yeah,
like
you got to have a beautiful woman at the beautiful girl at the bar. We tried to blow up the all. It wasn't the same. Plus, we were both winded after about 10 minutes. It just didn't work.
So, anyway, don't forget to visit our sponsors, PV Imaging. You can get some business cards done, or if you need anything printed, Peter over there. Go to our website, link on, talk to Peter. He'll print anything. He's awesome. And then also, audible.com. Oh, my next book. I'm going to be doing some traveling, and I'm downloading.
I hear a book being listened
I'm
to.
I'm going
to
download Keith Richards' autobiography, read by Johnny Depp.
Nice.
And I'm going to bet.
Does he do the voice?
I'm going to bet he does it with an English accent.
He probably does. I bet you he does
it. As Jack Sparrow.
That would be awesome.
I'll bet you he does.
That would be awesome.
He at least will do the voice.
Yeah. So you go to audible.com, and there's tons of good books there that you can download. And Johnny Depp reads Keith Richards' autobiography. Keith Richards can't read.
he barely could write it. It's in crayon, right?
And you can get this podcast at www.mccartymetro.com and download this podcast for free.
We've got to start charging.
And join us
ice is expensive
next week. We're going to figure out how we're going to do a podcast here, because I'm going to be gone for a few weeks.
We'll figure something out.
So anyway, thanks for joining us. Cheers. Happy New Year. This is our first podcast of the new year.
Yes.